What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. First things first, I know there are going to be a lot of new listeners today, so just if you are unfamiliar with our podcast, you can fast forward until you hear a beat, and that's when the conversation with Kuko is going to start. If you are not a new listener and you listen in every week, remember to go to patreon.com, that is patreon.com/kindaneat, and pledge your support by giving us $1 per episode. It's very cheap. It's like buying me a espresso every month, or maybe it's like buying me 2 Kit Kat bars every month, the giant Kit Kat bars. I like those. Also, we have hats for sale, the Kinda Neat Dad hats, so go to kindaneat.net. Hit that shop button, and you can find those shipping to everywhere. It was pretty serendipitous. Every once in a while, you get a special artist on the show that you see is about to hit critical mass or is in the middle of hitting critical mass, and I think Kuko is one of those people. His metrics have been going absolutely apeshit. His music is just wonderful. You know that I'm a sucker for kind of like lo-fi pop music with catchy melodies. You guys have seen it on the show with Kali Uchis before. You've seen it with TV Girl. You've seen it with all kinds of people that we've had on the show. Like, I really just love the type of music that he makes, and it turns out that he makes it all with instruments on his own. Like, it's not sample based as I thought it was before he came in, and that's very interesting to me. So be sure that you guys check him out, because I think everybody that listens to this show is going to really vibe with this dude. And beyond that, just a good kid. He's 19. Today is his 19th birthday. He came in on his birthday to work. Shout out to cancers. It's cancer season. Let's get it. Other than that, I had a really good weekend, and I hope you guys did too. Oh, I know what else to say. On YouTube, I've been getting bored and uploading old videos, or old podcasts to YouTube, because I didn't start uploading any podcasts to the YouTube format or the YouTube platform until 2016, but we've of course been doing this show since 2013. So I have 3 years worth of episodes that have never been on YouTube, and I know that we don't have video. I know that I don't videotape these or film them or what have you. I don't have visuals. It's just an audio podcast, but some people for some reason will only listen to podcasts on YouTube. So if you don't subscribe to the podcast app and just listen to them when they pop up on the feed, then you can go to our YouTube channel. I'm going to be uploading some classics. So far, I've already uploaded the Sesh Hollow Waterboys episode. I've uploaded the Anthony Fantano episode, uploaded the Kali Uchis episode, and some other upcoming ones. I'll upload Kyle soon. I'll upload Anderson .Paak soon. I'll upload Kitty, Dumbfounded. I'll upload a bunch of just ones that people have been asking, like, why can't I hear this? Even though if you just go to kindaneat.net, you could hear it. So yeah, remember, we've been doing this show for 4 years now, and there are tons of episodes sitting on kindaneat.net that you could go back and listen to at any time. That being said, I'm just going to get into it. This is Kuko. I'm very excited about him. Shout out to my homie Romo. Shout out to Chase for putting me on to this dude. I'm very excited, and I think that we can all expect big things from this young gentleman. And without further ado, here is our conversation with Kuko. I feel so blessed that you're here spending your birthday with us. I'm excited.
I'm stoked.
You're a Cancer.
Yeah.
I'm a Cancer too, man.
Emotional.
Yeah, we're very emotional, but also like closed off from the emotion. Well, you put yours kind of on display, don't you?
Yeah, my music.
Yeah.
Kind of says it all.
It does. But in your real life, do you think you hide them?
It depends. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I like suppress everything and like put in my music, but sometimes I just be open about it. I be like, man, I'm fucked up right now.
Right.
But it like depends really. I'm all over the place.
I feel you. Well, because I look at your Twitter feed, which is hilarious, but it seems like you deal with a lot of stuff with humor, huh?
Yeah.
I was always kind of the same, whereas like I'm a very emotional person, depressed person constantly since I was a child, but I like try to cover it with humor and a good attitude. Do you feel yourself doing that?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like always just saying dumb shit just to keep myself like, I'm not sad. I'm good. I'm cooling.
Right. And I've noticed that a lot of your humor revolves around your small wiener.
My tweets, yeah. It's just funny, like just the word chode is funny, you know? So I feel like just making like jokes about having a small dick is just the funniest thing ever because
it makes me laugh.
Because like I don't know, because like it's just funny because it also kind of goes along with like that whole like going against the hyper masculinity, because I don't know, you know how everybody's like, yeah bro, I got a big old, you know, right. it's just funny going like against this, like, dude, I'm part of like the chode click.
Chode click. Tell me about your Twitter handle. I cried during sex.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you come up with that?
I was just like, I was just bored.
Yeah.
My at name before that was Moonshine Father. But at the time, like that whole like dad and father trend, like that weird shit.
Yeah.
And like all those weird kids, like that, like, oh, dad, mom, dad, yeah, father. It's like, It weirded me out. I didn't want to be part of that because, honestly, it's weird. I'm not. It was just weird as fuck.
Yeah.
So I was like, I gotta change my name, and I was sitting like in a couch for like fucking like 10, 15 minutes just thinking about like what could be a funny at name. Then like I was like, I cried during sex. It was just funny, and like, and I still have people asking me all the time like, do you really cry during sex? Like I just go along like, yeah, like, all the fucking time.
It is a funny at name. Have you found people being confused as to like, wait, I can't find Kuko online because I can't find his Twitter?
Probably. I feel like, well, yeah, actually, I feel like that's the case for a lot of it, because I feel like people will just search up Kuko, mm-hmm, and then sometimes I get the tweet like, I finally found your Twitter. And it's like, yeah, it was iCrediting sex, right, the whole time.
Right. I don't usually talk a lot about like the actual music process with people, but I'm interested in yours because even before we got on air, you told me, like, I thought all of your music was sample based just from how it sounds, and apparently you play all your stuff.
Yeah,
so,
everything.
Yeah. So, well, first and foremost, are you self taught musician?
In a sense, I'm like I've, I saw like my first instrument was guitar. Yeah. So I went to like three lessons.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, it might have been because it was like every weekend, but I only went for like 2 months, you know. But it was like once a day. I mean, once 1 day of the weekend,
right?
And sometimes I wouldn't even go because I'd be too lazy. But yeah, like basically, I just like the guy. He taught me. His name was Javier. I remember that guy. He's one of the coolest dudes ever.
Shout out Javier.
Shout out Javier. He taught me how to play a like flamenco guitar.
Mm.
That was like my first thing, like Spanish flamenco guitar, and like
that seems hard.
Yeah, I learned the technique. You know, it was like the first day, the second day, I learned like what the guitar was called, the body, the bridge, the fretboard, like the neck and the tuning pegs. And then he taught me like basically how it works. So, you know, you strum a note or you hit a chord,
mm-hmm,
and it has to like match with your fingers. That's just how I always saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I just stopped going to lessons and I just taught myself like the rest of it. Like I taught myself how to do like the jazz guitar, like playing metal, like progressive music, super like technical shit.
Really?
Then in like middle school, I had my music class, and my teacher's name was Mr., like, shout out to Mr. Harwell. Like that dude was cool. Like he would always, because it was a school in the hood, you know.
Yeah.
So I would, and I didn't really have like a lot of friends like that. I was just always like, damn, what do I do? So I just stayed in like the after school program, but I would also spend a lot of time like in like there was like it was like a music room, and there was like three rooms, like in like three little side rooms. It was like really small and cramped up, but there was just like an electric drum set. There was a pod for like the bass, the guitar, and then there was the keys. And it was sort of like just running through an interface without the computer. And you just heard it through the microphones, just like silent practice. So I just like taught myself how to play the keys, the drums, and the bass.
Just listening to headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like learn how to fucking play all those notes and learn how to like do the drum beats and stuff like that. And I was always practice it. And then like in high school, I learned how to play a trumpet and the mellophone.
What's a mellophone?
Mellophones, it's a French horn, but for marching.
Oh, okay.
So you actually march it.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know, okay, so like trumpet, like there's always people like, oh man, I remember teaching you like the trumpet. There's like nobody taught, like I had to teach myself because trumpet players are cocky as fuck. Like it's funny because they always try to take credit for like all the shit. But when I was like learning how to play it, I was like, yo, like you guys teach me how to play this because I just ended up in marching band.
Yeah.
I didn't like want to.
Why?
Because I had just signed up for music.
Yeah.
But like they had placed me in the marching band. So I was like, fuck, now I gotta dress up in this uniform. I gotta wear this fucking hat. It's a bucket.
Right.
You know, if that's what it felt like, I'm wearing this bucket in my head.
Marching around in like 90 degree weather, wearing mad fucking like polyester and shit.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to play on, like, any of that shit. So I was like, yo, can you guys teach me? And they were like, yeah, just buzz your lips and, like, play these notes. And then after that, I was like, all right, cool, what else? They're like, just learn how to read music.
Yeah.
And, like, do this. I was like, what the fuck? Like, okay, so I gotta just watch you guys and, like, learn. So I just had to fucking learn trumpet, too. And I didn't, you know, none of this, it was all a hobby, you know? Yeah. I would write music on guitar and shit sometimes. Like, I would do it, but I never really thought of it as anything other than that, like a hobby or... And then, like, my junior year, because, okay, sophomore year, I used to drop a lot of acid, so I was always listening to, like, Tame Impala, fucking Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
I love Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Yeah. And a lot of, like, progressive music, like that prog metal shit.
Yeah.
But a lot of, I started, like, just listening, and I was like, damn, I know how to play all these instruments, and these guys produce their own music, you know? So I was like, I'm going to just do that. Yeah. So I went to Guitar Center, or Sam Ash. I already had a computer. It was old. Like, that's the same one I still use. Some, like, old MacBook. Uh-huh. And I bought a cheap mixer and, like, a MIDI keyboard. And I just used the free Ableton software that it came with. Yeah. Like, the Ableton Lite. And my monitors, I didn't have monitors. I just used my guitar amplifier. And I just plugged it in.
Yeah.
And I would just, and then I, like, figured out, I had to figure out also how to record, how all these, like, buttons, because it was in an interface, it was a mixer, you know?
Right.
So I had to figure out how that worked. I had to figure out everything when it came to recording. Then I would listen to it through my amplifier. Then I would put the earpods on. Then I'd go to my mom's car and, like, listen it.
Right.
Then I'd come back and be like, all right, I need to listen to this, like, now. And then I'd hear it and I'd be like, all
right,
cool.
Right, like monitoring it through different systems to see, okay, it sounds good through my amplifier. Now I got to see if it sounds good in the whip. Now I got to see if it sounds good in my TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then next thing you know, like, I was using all my skills at that point. And...
Wow.
It was a trip, yeah.
So you're, like, relatively self-taught, other than like some, like, a couple lessons, like, and some music programs.
Exactly, just like, it's just like a little, like, a couple lessons and shit here and there. But it was mostly just me teaching myself, like, all these techniques and all this stuff, because I just loved doing all this.
So what drew you to the guitar? How old were you? You say, in middle school I stopped going to lessons. So, like, what did you start in elementary school?
Oh no, I started when I was 8 years old.
When you were 8,
yeah.
What drew you to the guitar?
Queen.
Queen.
Yeah, I was into Bohemian. No, I was into We Are the Champions.
We Are the Champions, of
course. You know that little solo in the middle?
Yeah.
So I was listening to that. And then I told my mom, like, that same day, I was like, Mom, I need to learn guitar.
Wow.
And then...
When you were 8.
Yeah, and she was skeptical about taking me to, like, shout out to my mom, too, because, like, if it wasn't for, like, her being like, all right, fine, I'll let you go to these lessons.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, like, do any of this, you know?
Yeah, right.
But she was skeptical at first because I had, like, quit my piano classes and I was, like, 5.
Oh, so you were taking piano at 5, too.
Yeah, like, she wanted me to go, but after, like, the second time, I was, like, begging her to, like, not take me because I was just so, like, tired of it.
Right.
So then I was 8 and she was like, all right, fine. I'll take you. Let's see how that works. And, yeah, it's that same year I stopped going to, like, the lessons.
Yeah.
But I already had my flamenco guitar.
Oh, okay. So the first guitar you got was a flamenco guitar?
Yeah.
Is that acoustic?
It's an acoustic guitar, but with nylon strings.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I went probably, like, lessons, like, one day out of the week, like, for, I think, like, 2 months at most.
Did you get good at flamenco before you started teaching yourself other types?
A little bit, like... I just got really good at finger picking.
So music just called for you. What was it about Queen, and what other music did Queen introduce you to after that?
Well, my dad was always showing me, like, a lot of music, like Queen, the Beatles, like a lot of Spanish rock, like Anitos Verdes, Hombres G, like it was really all over the place. And a lot of opera, you know, like oh, fuck, I forgot their name. Luciano Pavarotti.
Okay.
Andrea Bocelli. So it was just crazy, and, like, even music that I still don't know what it was, but, like, if I hear it, like, I just remember it, you know?
Yo, shout out to your enunciation, because I would have been like, Luciano Pavarotti?
Yeah.
You made that shit sound mad beautiful.
Yeah, because my dad used to also, like, study Italian, so he would, like, and because I guess being a Spanish speaker, Italian's, like, relatively, like...
Right, similar.
Yeah, so it's, like, you could... pronounced like Pavarotti, you know,
rather
than Pavarotti, like Pavarotti.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how it all came together, and, like, all my influences, like, have, like, their own little stories and shit like that. And also listen to a lot of hip hop too, you know. That's,
I could tell, you could hear it in the drums.
Yeah, like, my drums are mostly 808s.
Yeah. What hip hop was getting to you?
But when I was growing up, it was, like, whatever was on MTV for me. So, like, 50 Cent, Eminem,
totally.
Fucking whatever DJ Khaled had produced.
Yeah.
It was like 2005, like T-Pain, Chris Brown. But I was also into like old school like hip hop because my uncles like were always listening to like Jedi Mind Tricks, Necro, Immortal Technique.
Totally.
All that kind of stuff, like underground.
Sick Jackin.
Yeah. So it was fucking crazy, and like I was into all this shit, and
nice
came together.
Well, let's talk about where you're from and your family and stuff. So you're from Hawthorne?
Yeah, I'm from Hawthorne.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Hawthorne. I just know that one time I got banged on there at a Pep Boys about 10 years ago, and then also I go to Rex's batting cage in Hawthorne and smack some baseballs around once in a while. But other than that, tell me about Hawthorne.
So Hawthorne's like I guess like at the heart of the South Bay. It's like a mix. I don't know, because there's like the South Bay, which is like Torrance and like Redondo and Manhattan. Manhattan is like really, really like
Hermosa.
Yeah, super nice, rich.
Yeah, Manhattan, Redondo, Hermosa are like ultra white beach cities.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like as soon as you cross Rosecrans, you're like in the hood kind of, right?
Yeah, because you get Rosecrans, it could take you to Manhattan or it could take you to Compton, you know?
Yeah.
So Hawthorne's like, I guess, like in between, but it's also like bordering Lenox and bordering Inglewood,
yeah,
and Gardena, you know. So there's like a nice area of Hawthorne, but it's like a small section.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it is just like it's just like a mix. It's not like the hood, you know, but it also is like weird.
What was your neighborhood like?
My neighborhood's pretty calm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not like crazy.
Yeah,
but like a couple streets, like you said, but you go down like two blocks and it's like 118th and then it's like like sketchy shit, and then it's like I don't know. I also went to school like in Lenox and Inglewood,
mm-hmm.
so like to me Hawthorne just doesn't seem that bad compared to like Lenox or Inglewood, because like I guess just essentially like gang wise and shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get me wrong, like I still like all those cities and shit, because mm-hmm. I don't know, for me that's just home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always just like cruise and shit like that because mm-hmm. I love being in that area.
Is your neighborhood mostly Latino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually Hawthorne's really diverse though.
Yeah,
actually,
right.
Actually, Hawthorne's really diverse.
Yeah. But yeah. What about your specific neighborhood?
My specific neighborhood. It's actually just like all over. It's like it's a black Latino.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly black and Latinos.
Okay. Tell me about your family. You talk about mom and dad. You got brothers and sisters?
No siblings.
You're the only child.
Yeah, it's my mom and my dad.
No shit.
Yeah.
So were you must be really close with them, being an only child. You probably hung around with a lot of adults as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Low key, yeah, I did. Like, I was never like really spoiled either.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they didn't like leave me like without, you know, anything. Like they kind of like their whole idea was like, you know, they had a kid, so they want to give me whatever they couldn't
mm-hmm.
get. But they also just taught me like, yo, like you got to also learn how to earn your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And do all that. So I was like, all right, cool. And I just hung, I don't know, I feel like I just matured pretty quick like that too, because I was always just around a lot of adults. And my mom, like, she cleans houses and they're like, it's like pretty wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like learned from like a small age, like what it was like to be in that environment.
Right. Cause and sometimes you go to work with her. Or
yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I mean, they're like family to us though, because my mom's been working with the same people since she came here.
Totally.
Which is like, in like the 80s.
Yeah.
So they're just like family to us. They treated us well, you know. So mm-hmm. I was blessed enough that not only was my mom able to just always take me to work with her as a kid, but I kind of learned what it was like to be in different environments.
Right.
Up.
You learned to be a chameleon a little bit.
Yeah.
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 Like code switching, I guess. Maybe.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Where's your mom from?
My mom is from she's from Puebla, Mexico, in a small town called San Juan Atenco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how like the states and provinces work in Mexico, but yeah, like San Juan Atenco, but like essentially Puebla.
Yeah.
And my dad's from the capital, like Mexico City.
Okay.
And they came here at like different times.
I only know about anything about Mexico because of food, and that's probably some racist white guy shit, but I know about Puebla because of semitas.
Semitas are so fucking fired.
Semitas are my favorite sandwich.
I love them. Like my grandma, she has like, my aunt always gets a semita truck like for my grandmother or my grandpa's birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm just like chilling with semitas.
What's your favorite kind of semita? I like the pressed chicken breast. What is it? Milanesa.
That's that one.
Pollo Milanesa.
Milanesa with like chipotle.
Fuck.
And all like, right. It's just fire.
Yeah, totally. So when did they migrate over here?
Yeah, like in the 80s.
In the 80s? Was there any particular reason or like for school or anything, or just like
just to like, yeah, to they like like they had the idea of like going to coming to the United States and then going back to like just with like money and to kind of give, but they just ended up making a whole life here, you know.
Did they meet over here or in Mexico?
They met here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, like they had like this, like I guess like their friends were just pretty similar.
Yeah,
and then just ended up meeting.
That's tight. So how come no brothers and sisters? They were just like you were a handful enough, or what?
I feel like probably because I mean it's already hard, you know, like raising one kid, and like and coming here with basically like almost nothing,
right?
So kind of like building from this like the ground up, you know, because before like they bought the house that we have right now, like we were living like in a garage, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a garage they had made into like a little
bedroom type thing.
Yeah, right. So that's pretty much what it was. And like we had like a little like a small ass kitchen. And mm-hmm. small little bathroom mm-hmm. and just like the room.
What's your dad do?
He's a photographer.
No shit.
Yeah, he's a photographer, but he's also like a driver.
Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah, so he's out here and there. He's very creative. He's a creative mind too, you know. So
is your mom creative as well?
Yeah, she's and also really smart. Like she's like crazy like mathematician type of thing. Really? You know? She's really good with finances and stuff like that.
So you got a balance of right and left brain from both parents, it seems like. Did you take to school? Were you like very into education as a kid?
I was actually a really good student.
Yeah.
I was honorable up until like sixth grade.
What happened in sixth grade, man?
I don't know. I kind of started slacking because I was like, man, like this is cool, but I just focused a lot on music.
Yeah, that was when the music bug took over.
And then even more like in high school.
Were you like an early reader?
Yeah, I used to be like in like first grade reading at like fourth or fifth grade level, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I've read studies where only children are really fast to pick up reading or something, because when you're around adults more talking and like and not talking to like other little kids, because, you know, little kids be stupid.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I had my own social skills like developed through me, and like I was learning how like to use my art to like get me out of like a growth, because I didn't grow up with like a lot of friends and shit, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, just because I was pretty antisocial. I didn't really know how to like communicate or like be friends with people, you know. So I was just like,
well, tell me about it. Why?
I don't know. Yeah. I was just there. I was just chilling, and I wasn't like miserable either, you know.
Yeah,
it was like I was cool, and like I went to school. I knew people, you know. Yeah. Like everybody was just cool with me.
Yeah.
But I didn't like hang out with them like on a daily. Like I didn't really have like that like type of like oh cool, I'm gonna go outside play ball with all my friends and shit, you know.
Yeah,
it was always like I would go to school, I hang out like maybe one or two kids during lunch, I'd go home and just play video games or like
what video games were you into?
A lot of racing games. Like I was super into like Need for Speed and like Midnight Club. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah,
got me into like cars and shit.
What video game system were you on as a child 10 years ago? It must have been like Xbox 360 or no, Xbox?
PS2.
PS2, okay.
Yeah, the PS2.
Yeah.
That was like when Need for Speed Underground 2 was like a good thing. Call of Duty 3 was like...
So popping. Did you grow up playing online then?
I didn't get online till like, till like I actually got the 360. I don't remember what age.
Yeah.
But then I started playing like Modern Warfare and like... And like Call of Duty 4 and all that shit,
mm-hmm.
and I started like kind of getting out of my shell more in like middle school,
mm-hmm.
and like then high school. I was just.
Are you still into video games or no?
Not really. Like, no. I had like the PS4, but I literally have one video game, which is Fallout 4.
Nice.
Because I was super into it when I first got it, but I had my
People get obsessed with Fallout, huh?
Yeah, Fallout was cool. Like, I still think it's one of the best games ever. You know?
Yeah.
But. Like just in general, like gaming, I got out of it because I had a TV in my room, but like I really just wanted to have my studio in there. So I was like, cool, I'll just make a quick setup in like my living room for my game and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I just never got to it because I was just always making music in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good slacking.
Do you think your antisocial nature led to you creating such solo music? Like you're like a one man band basically.
Yeah.
Is that just because you're like, well, fuck it, I won't make friends, I'll just make my own music?
Yeah, it was. So it wasn't. Yeah, I guess like that, because I was in a couple like 2-3 bands before I started making my own music. But like, I'm very like specific and picky on how I want things to sound.
Yeah.
So and also because I spent so much time alone, that gave me like an opportunity to just build my like skill set like. At a little bit of a quicker pace, you know, because I did spend so much time just like doing shit.
Right.
And then, so I just kind of carried that with me for a cool minute. Even in high school, like I didn't start like really getting out there till like graduated high school. Like,
really?
Which is like last year, you know?
Which is like, a couple months ago.
Probably. So it was just like,
that's interesting. I mean, I would I would imagine that the level of dedication you have, it's probably also hard to find people your age that are as obsessed or like as sure of their role in life with music to be like, I want to learn this. I want to learn this now. Like, it's probably hard to find people that want to keep up with you.
Yeah. And I'm actually blessed that I found my, like my band and stuff. Cause they're at that mindset. Like I met all of them after I graduated high school.
Oh, really?
Like last summer.
Yeah.
So.
Well, tell me about your bands.
Yeah. So my band consists of, the homies, Julian, Gabriel. Well, they have like their little names because they're artists too, you know, Liano, Breeze, Ishmael and homie Isai. And they all have like their own projects and their own bands and shit. But I knew Isai from like high school, you know. That was like the giga homie. Like since I was a sophomore in high school, we would always like do music, we always jam together.
Did you meet him in band class?
Yeah, I met him through band.
Yeah.
And we would always just like makes like the stupidest joke. Like it was just funny because like his humor was the same as mine. So it was like,
that's the key to a friendship, man, is similar taste in jokes.
Exactly.
You know?
And then when you can like jam with them to you can make the switch up from like blues to like metal.
Yeah.
You know, because I was low key like, I was like.
You like got a diverse taste.
Yeah, I was like low key a scene kid in high school. Like, well, like my senior, what the fuck?
Wait, a what?
My freshman year. Like emo kid.
Oh, okay.
But it, you know how like it's like emo when it's like 2006, like emo, but then like 2012 when like it was like later emo is like they call him scene.
Oh, a scene kid.
Yeah,
okay.
Scene kid. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said sync. I was
no,
like, what?
Scene kid.
Yeah. I know.
So
scene
I had
kid.
Like the hair. I had all that shit. So I was
did
like,
you?
Yeah. So nice. Then I got out of it like sophomore year when I was just like a fucking little hippie.
Who were your bands at that time?
My bands at that time.
Who were you listening to?
I really fucked with a lot of like Periphery, North Lane, Veil of Maya. I fuck with Pierce the Veil. I still fuck with Pierce the Veil.
Okay,
you feel me.
I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I know any of those bands, but I'm doing this because I know your listeners are gonna be curious. Like, what does Kuko listen to?
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Yeah, what does he listen to? How did he learn? Like, yeah. So feel free at any time to talk about bands that have influenced you, because I'm sure your fucking listeners will be stoked.
Probably. Yeah.
So. You were a scene kid and you had like the flip over hair.
Yeah, this is like it was from like the end of eighth grade to like almost the end of like freshman year.
So that's like 2012, 2013-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like crazy where I was like all middle school and then it kinda went off for a long ass time. It was like literally just the smallest fucking phase ever.
Yeah.
And then I just got out of that and then into my like super like psychedelic phase when I started listening to like all the psychedelic music and
That's like the Tame Impala shit you're talking about?
Tame Impala, yeah. UMO, a lot of like old shit like the Velvet Underground, Lemon Pipers, Love, all those like old psychedelic groups.
Yeah.
And that's the same time at the homie Isai.
Crimson or what?
Yeah, I've heard I think two tracks from them. I'm not going to act like I know them. But
that's
Like I know them, but I don't know them.
Right, yeah.
And then, so it was all over the place. And then after high school, I met like all my other band members.
So when you're in your psychedelic phase, were you doing psychedelics?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
I was a trip. I was
literally.
Like, and I didn't actually like find pure LSD till like later, in high school, because it was always like shit being sold to me as LSD, but it's like when I always researched my shit, you know? So like I would find out that like it was like 25, these are different substances, because I had like different other shit. So I would be like, okay, cool. So I'm trying this, I'm experimenting with all of these different tabs and shit.
Yeah. So not that we at this show encourage kids to try anything, but would you say that this was like a mind-opening thing for your creativity?
For me, it was really mind-opening. I just don't condone it because it's like it makes you super vulnerable.
Totally.
to permanent trauma. So I just don't. I'm not gonna be like, go try it. You know.
Mm-hmm. But would you just like sit around listening to music?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I would just listen to fucking like Lonerism was my album.
Right.
That was my go-to.
And like the grooves and the bass on that while you're like zoning on like
hell
that. Oh
yeah.
My God, it must have been amazing.
Hell yeah. It's insane. Like Apocalypse Dream just was always my favorite song from the album.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember one time on acid listening to Breakdown by Tom Petty and just like having a real moment. It was like it had never sounded that good to me. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's low key like how I like making people feel like with my music, because when people like message me like, yo, I'm off the shits right now. I'm tripping out on your music and this shit is tight. Like,
yeah.
That's tight because it's like that's how like I felt when I was into like Tame Impala and all this psychedelic music.
Yeah.
So it's tight to be that artist that like people can go to for like their trip music, you know?
Totally. So by the time you graduated from high school last year, were you already starting to garner a little bit of a following?
Yeah. Yeah, after I graduated, like well during high school I had I had 400 like followers.
Mm-hmm.
This is like literally
on Twitter. Yeah,
like 2016, I had like 400 followers, like early in the year last year, you know? Like, I was cooling, I was putting out music. And then There Was a Day came out, it kind of started getting me a little more out there. But then I what really made me kind of get out there like crazy was my fucking Sleepwalk video. I did like a video of me playing like the slide guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually never put videos on Twitter, like, it was always off Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it was like super proggy, technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like that day, like my bird had died, and
your bird?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And
how long had you had it?
I didn't have it for a long time. But it was my grandparents before that.
Yeah.
Like they're alive and shit. It sounded like they were dead, but no, they're like alive. But it's just they couldn't really take care of it.
What kind of bird was it?
It was a cockatoo.
Oh shit! Yeah.
So they lived for it lived for a cool minute, like probably like over 30 years, you know.
30 years?
Yeah, because those like birds can live like a really long time.
Well, I didn't know cockatoos live that long. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's
like,
tight.
Because my grandparents had him like way like before like when they got here. Like,
yeah.
The people that they work with had it.
Wow.
So it's like it's probably older than that because it's been through like different owners.
Yeah.
But yeah. He died, and I was like, damn, that sucks. Like. And then I was just listening to like music, and then Sleepwalk came up.
I was gonna say, as soon as you said slide guitar, I was like, man, Sleepwalker is one of my favorite fucking songs of all time. And
and
I was thinking like, oh, I wonder if that was an inspiration, but you just nailed it. So go ahead, tell
me. So Sleepwalk was the song that came on, and it had like, and all this, the chords, the way it comes together.
Yeah,
it's just like a perfect song. So I tuned my guitar all weird.
Yeah.
So that I would be able to do the harmonizations with my slide and stuff, and I did it, and like that just went viral like so fucking quick.
Really?
And it was all like miscalculated too. Like, well, like it was perfectly calculated in a like miscalculated way, because I did that, it started getting attraction, but I didn't realize I had like Puya's Underground Underdog merchandise on.
Yeah.
Like his long sleeve.
Yeah.
And like people were tagging him, so he saw that
and he retweeted
it. And then like low key, like I feel like that's what made it go like really viral, because mm-hmm. since he already had a big following, then a whole bunch of people started like finding me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like clicking on my profile, finding my music, and after that, like I was glad that the people that came and started supporting me were like, they became sort of diehard low-key. Like, they were, like, crazy into it.
Yeah, Puya's got that kind of following already that's, like, super diehard underground.
A cult.
Yeah, it's those types. There's a certain type of people that find an underground music and they latch onto it because, like, that's what makes them tick, you know what I mean? Is like, having that thing that other people don't have. And so if you can find those type of people to like, listen to your music, that's a good starting point.
Yeah, hell yeah. It was crazy. And then they started spreading my music. And
that's dope.
I just kept making more slide videos because I actually that time, like, because before the Sleepwalk video, like the day before, I was playing to like a Pawn song.
Uh-huh.
And like I was like doing it, I uploaded that like the night before.
Uh-huh.
And then I did the Sleepwalk video because I started liking it. It was like, damn, this is fun. Like,
yeah,
because I was always doing really complicated like guitar stuff, and like it's fun, you know, it's cool to like have that skill set, but it's also just nice to do something soothing and simple.
Are you like a shredder on the guitar? Like, do you fucking play like metal solos and shit?
Yeah, dude, like really? I low-key suck at, like sweet picking.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just never really, like, took the time to do that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, for the most part, it's super, like, crazy, like, all this technical shit. Nobody knows that, though. Like, because,
really?
Because I'm just such a, like, my music's so simple.
I would have never guessed it. Yeah, listening to your music, it's so, like, forward pop music, and, like, I wouldn't have guessed that you're, like, a shredder.
Yeah, dude, like, it's, I have, like, I got rid of my old band tee just because, like, I couldn't fit into them because I low-key gained a little weight.
Yeah.
And I got also really tall.
That's a get money gut.
Yeah, it's like, and I also just got really tall and shit, but I have band tees and shit. Like, I would always just, like, actually, like, the guitar I just ordered 2 days ago.
I saw it. It's pretty.
Yeah, that's like basically like a fucking, that's like basically a metal guitar, you know?
What is it, a Keesler or something?
Keesler, Carvin.
Okay.
So it's like, it's not, I didn't design it, but it's still a custom shop, you know? It's like a one out of one.
Wow, that's so tight. Damn, dog, on the come up.
Yeah, dude, like I was always just a gear nerd, you know?
Yeah.
So like being able to kind of like being able to finally acquire the gear I want, and you know, it's an investment too, you know, because it's like I'm gonna use it, you know, I'm gonna use it regardless, like whether I got it because I wanted it or because I needed it. Totally. It's like it's gonna come in handy,
right?
Like for like the song, like Siento, like a couple of my recent songs, I had a vibrato pedal and I had bought it just because like I like making my keys and my guitar sound like it's going through a tape recorder. And if you ever hear like how tape recorders sound, it's never really like consistent pitch. It'll be like duh, like that, so it kind of gives that like super old vibe.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'd keep like my like when I was recording, I'd keep the like I just ended up using the vibrato pedal to do that, but then I'd keep my microphone on, like also like I'd keep it plugged into my mixer, and I'd put the gain all the way up but the volume pretty low, so that it was still like that white noise that was going on in the background,
right?
And then, so it all came together. Like, and then I'd add like the chorus effect to like, and I'd like just turn on the chorus effect to the white noise.
Yeah.
But not to the vibrato track because it already had the effect, you know? So it was like, so the white noise sounded already like super altered, but the vibrato was already giving it that tone to kind of make it sound like an old tape recorder. Right. And then I moved that onto the organs and the guitars. And it was just like, all right, cool, this is tight.
I just want to say for you guys sitting at home that didn't get to see that, Kuko right now just like, that whole story was all told with your hands as well. Like, all of that was very passionate about, like, you're like a mad scientist in the lab. You're figuring stuff out and you're pushing buttons and you're twisting knobs to get that sound. Because I think, like, to the layman listener just tuning into one of your songs for the first time, you might hear it and go, oh, this is like accidental lo-fi, but like, no, it's very, from what you were telling me off air, it's very purposeful lo-fi. Like you strive for that sound and you found that sound by accident and have mastered it now. So tell me.
Yeah. Cause even like I was telling you earlier, like there's like a faulty input in my mixer.
Yeah.
So I use that sometimes to even make it more like staticky and scratchy because it'll be faulty, you know, it's not like shit, but it's but it works so perfectly.
Right. Cause you were telling me when you were learning or teaching yourself to do it, you would strive for like a really clear, crystal clear, like mastered sound.
Yeah.
So to make it sound as though like, you know, you're working in a really fancy studio and you've just come to find out that your aesthetic, maybe it feels better to you if it has that lo-fi tape quality.
But it's like vintage, but post-production too, because I use 808s and like and sometimes I'll use like the hip hop like bass because I'll match like the kick drum with my bass.
Uh-huh.
So it's just weird. Like I'll mix it all over the place so it sounds like, so that some of like the main parts sound super old record. It would sound like a sample.
Uh-huh.
But then like the drums, the bass, and then my vocals would be very like sort of crisp, clean. But then I'll add like that also like effect to make my vocals sound very washed away.
Yeah.
Along with the double tracking, you know?
Yeah. That's tight, man. You're a real scientist.
Yeah.
You're figuring this shit out. How many days a week do you work on music, do you think?
Recently, I've been giving myself a little bit of a break because, like, my mental, like, just my mental and my, like, where my mind's been hasn't really been, like, the best place.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm trying, you know? But I'm just working on that, like, just kind of, like, letting myself get a breather, kind of, like, just really just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll work probably, like, 3 or 4 days out of the week. Or sometimes I'll just be playing the instrument. I won't be, like, recording anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, actually recording a song and everything's, like, already laid out, then I'll just be spending like the whole week or the whole month just on either a song or a couple of songs and just doing something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah. I wonder. Well, you just said, oh, you know, my mental health, getting it in order, et cetera, et cetera. I've been going through that too. I wonder if like it's a seasonal thing with us with cancers. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I've been feeling a little better as of late, and I'm like, maybe it's just because summer's about to pop off. Like, go to the beach and shit. Like, I don't know. But anyways, I don't know what I'm getting at, other than like, you're not alone. Everyone's going through their mental shit. I've been having a tough one.
But it's cool to like also be open about it on like social media because like I know people are like, oh, like, you know, shut up, like don't keep your, you know, like when it's like just in general, people are always like, don't put your shit out there like, on media, how you feel and shit. But it's like, I don't know, I feel like there's a connection between me and like all the people that support me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I feel like this, if you feel like this, it's like, dude, we're all people, we should feel shit, you know?
Right.
So it's just like it kind of like makes me like want to give validation to others and shit.
Totally.
While if they feel validated, then that makes me feel a little more validated.
In our society, there's a certain stigma about men showing emotions or something.
Yeah.
You know, like this
machismo,
absolutely.
Yeah. That bullshit is just like a whole, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like it's really dumb. Like I, I had to get out of that mentality towards the end of high school, like probably junior year. Uh-huh. Because I mean, just growing a Latino family, like Mexican family especially, just there's a lot of machismo going on, you know. Uh-huh. And it's like, it's you grow up with all these ideas, like, man, you know, you just gotta grow up, not be so sensitive. Anybody who like who gets bugged by whatever you say is just sensitive, and it's just like everything's a joke. But it's like, as honestly, dude, like this. It's just stupid as fuck. It's like, you know what, go feel however you want to feel. Mm-hmm. Be aware of what's going on. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, this whole idea of like being a man or not being a man. It's like, mm-hmm, stupid as fuck, dude.
Totally. I agree. I have questions about being Latino, being a Latino singer. I'm going to ask you a question. As a white guy, I don't know the difference between calling someone Latino or Chicano.
Yeah. Chicano is like, from my understanding, because I'm also learning this shit. Like, so keep in mind that I said in an interview before, like, I'm like an activist in training.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like
because you're young and you're learning.
Yeah, like I'm learning. Like a lot of people got into it before I did. Like a lot of people understand all these things. So like, I'm just taking like all these. Like I'm thankful that a lot of like my friends and like people, like just the people I talk to, are so like socially aware.
Yeah,
because they teach me this stuff, you know.
Right.
So like, as for like, from my knowledge, like Latino is just a general like term for like more like a like Latin American type of stuff, but like Chicano is like a like Mexican American. That's what I read up, and that's what I heard. But if I'm wrong, you know.
Right. And that's why I asked the question, because I know I'm wrong about a lot of this shit too, and I'm just trying to learn as well. And I hope that people that tune into the podcast want to learn as well, because we're trying to like teach people not how to not be douchebags, basically. That's kind of one of the goals. So
the big goal is also to kind of like, just like be inclusive and shit, you know. That's one of my main things, because I feel like another big thing that as like Mexicans, we have a really bad like habit of not like being like excluding of, and like be just being like very prejudiced to other like Latinos, and just so it's like for me, I'm just learning and taking all of this into, it's like, you know, how to educate others and how to be educated, how to like learn all this shit, because it's like I'm still learning a lot, you know.
Right. Well, and as a developing artist who's starting to hit that kind of critical mass, like you're going to be looked at as like a face of the Mexican American community in Los Angeles as an artist. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm happy that you're being aware of this stuff, and that's dope. From my understanding, in the Latin American community in Los Angeles, like emotional music has always been pretty popular. Hell, like people love Morrissey, people love the Smiths. So, I mean, I feel like your music kind of comes from a long lineage of that sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, like...
Did you grow up listening to that?
My dad was always into the Smiths.
Yeah.
I was never really into the Smiths like that. Uh-huh. But, like, I like the Cure and stuff. Like, I can't name song by song, but, like, he would always play the music.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll know it when I hear it, you know?
Yeah, I love the Cure as well.
And I also like a lot of oldies and shit, you know? Like, I
was... The Art LeBeau show? Oh, never mind. You don't know the Art LeBeau show?
Nah.
Oh, bro, that's the oldies. That's on Sunday nights on 93.5. You got to listen to it. You will fucking love it.
Really?
Yeah, he's a legend in LA. He's like a 95-year-old dude.
Shit.
He came up with the term oldie but goodie. He literally invented it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so anyway, like Art LeBeau has the hood pass. Like no matter where he goes in Los Angeles, like he's the man. Anyhow, yeah. So you love oldies. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. That kind of helped me like develop a lot of that like super old washed out lo-fi shit, because like I feel like when people think lo-fi, they think like a lot of like 80s and shit.
Yeah.
But I also like thinking about the production that existed back in like the 50s, 30s, even like 20, even like like when recording barely started.
Yeah.
You know, like the first ever recorded album like was like, it was just like, I don't know, like I'm tripping right now too, because it's like fucking, I learned this shit in like my jazz history class.
Yeah.
But I just forgot all the names and shit.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, like just hearing all these recordings and how it all started, it just like lo-fi and all that shit just I'm just like, I need to like figure, I want to pinpoint every era of what it was when it came to old recordings and shit, you know?
Man, that Kev that you just met downstairs, he has this book that's about, it like scientifically, they kept track of like all the science behind every Beatles recording. And when you look at old pictures of them getting recorded back in the day, sound engineers used to wear like lab coats. Like it was a science. It wasn't an art back then yet. And so all these dudes were literal scientists, like recording the sound. It's fucking crazy, dude.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. They were like,
lab coats.
Literally wearing lab coats in the fucking studio. It was so dope.
I'm gonna design my lab coat. It's gonna be a designer lab coat.
Just like a lab coat with like airbrushing on the back.
Paisley.
And shit. Yeah.
A whole Paisley lab coat.
Hey, that would be the hardest merch. Oh my god. The junior science class would be just popping with the Paisley print. Yeah. I wanted to say something real quick about, you were talking about your slide guitar. Do you have like a steel guitar, like an actual
place my regular guitar on my lap, yeah, and play it like a slide guitar.
Okay.
I got so much haters because of it.
Really?
It's so funny. Like, why? Because that's just how like musicians are sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like if they see something, because slide guitar is relatively easy. Yeah. Like it's super easy on some real shit.
Yeah.
But like people, It's just like haters, like people being jealous as fuck, and they're like that's just stupid. I don't know why this shit gets like so much attention. It's like, yeah, damn, like people like spend the time of day to look me up and just, like, to hate on me.
You know what? Because a lot of people play guitar, but not a lot of people go viral. You
exactly.
Know what I'm saying?
It's like honestly, like, it's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like, what do you want me to say, bro? Like, fucking,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, bro.
And then you said The Cure. I also love The Cure. And when I was in Austin a couple weeks ago, and yeah, this ties into both of those, I went to some like straight up cowboy dancing bar. Like they were all two stepping and shit, and they had the dopest like country cover band that was playing. They played Boys Don't Cry. And with the steel guitar, like,
oh,
it's like
shit.
Oh my god, it was so dope.
As hard as fuck.
It was so fucking tight, dude. I wish I had the video on my phone. It was amazing. So you had a Puya shirt on. Are you into like the new underground shit?
Yeah, I fuck with it.
Tell me about that. How'd you like? Who did you get into first? How'd you find out about it?
I started for, all right. So there's this band called Volumes. You know the metal band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a metal band called Volumes.
Uh-huh.
And one of their vocalists, He also does a rap project, Young Yogi.
Okay.
And him and like Puya were the first people I kind of started finding out about when it came to that underground stuff, because he was always just hanging out with Puya and shit.
Uh-huh.
And then that's when like Puya was coming up. So this is like, I think like a junior year of high school when I was finding out about all this.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I started like, I just found out about like kind of like out of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
And then I just started seeing all these people listening to Puya and shit. And I found out about like Fat Nick and yeah, like the whole G5-9 people and shit like that. So it's, yeah, cool. I Puya's cool with me and shit too. Like he recently started fucking with me, I think this year, you know?
Yeah.
Like he'd seen me and like, but he's like he like really started fucking with me like recently, this like early this year.
That's tight.
And then like all of them started like finding out who I was, and like it's really cool people.
Yeah.
Very, very like genuine,
totally,
people that like care about their fans like crazy. Like, mm-hmm, those guys are like real, real, real people.
Mm-hmm. Have you been like making music long enough publicly to where there's like a scene kind of built around yourself? Like, I know you played at The Smell pretty recently and it was super packed.
Yeah.
But like, are there other, like, if someone is a Cuco fan, are there other acts that you're associated with that they should be checking out, like locally?
Locally, Shidu.
Yeah.
Castillo's Arena.
Uh-huh.
Sesro.
Okay.
Fucking, I'm low-key naming all the homies' bands.
Right.
Because I fucking Indigo State.
Uh-huh.
I love Indigo State so much. Aerial View, you know? Because that's, like, a lot of them come from, like, a lot of my, like, my supporters started from, like, DIY scene and shit.
Right. So tell me about the DIY scene, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing, my first show was last September.
Uh-huh.
September 10, I believe, but it wasn't even, I didn't have a band yet. It was all a DJ set. It was a homie. It was at a rap show. It was this like these dudes have they basically put shows together. It's just another rap show.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, just another rap show on Instagram. So follow them because
that's their name. Just another rap show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like shout out to them because like they just be putting shows together. Like it's just cool as fuck. They're always doing like really cool shit. And that was my first show. Like I literally did two songs because, like a lot of like the rappers, like their songs are probably like 2-3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But my show was like fucking 7 minutes and five minutes, you know. So
you're making like epics.
So I only got to perform like two songs.
Yeah.
Because I only had like 10-15 minutes to perform.
Yeah.
But like all the homies were performing that night too, you know? Like the homie Quasi, Frio, Adam S, J Quest. So they like put me on and they got me in the first show.
And those are all rappers you just named?
Yeah.
And what kind of, are they making that kind of like new underground rap too? That's kind of like.
Yes and no, because they're very like unique in their styles. Like they're like, they're into that like lo-fi sound too. They're into like, they're crazy. Like to, you have to like actually just listen to them to like figure out what they're doing, because like they're, like I said, like not just because I'm from the South Bay, but like I really hype the South Bay up because like there's like it's unique. Like everything that's coming out of there is like absolutely insane. Like even on like my SoundCloud, you just see all the shit I've reposted. Yeah. Like 90% of it is all like the homies in the South Bay.
Okay.
Because it's very unique and everything that comes out of there. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first show. And then the homies in Shidu, which is the band that plays with me right now, along with Castillo, like the bassist from Castillo Zenena.
Uh-huh.
Like they all play with me, and it was just at first just three people that was in my band. It was the homie Liano, Breeze, and my homie Ishmael, and it was like just like four people, and it was the homie Ishmael on bass, and I was playing keys and singing.
Uh-huh.
The homie Liano was playing drums, and mm-hmm. the homie Breeze was playing guitar. And then one time, my homie Ishmael couldn't make it, so I got the homie Isai to play bass, because that's the homie that's from high school. And shit, I was like, yo, like, do some shit with me for this set. And the next thing you know, I was like, yo, honestly, like, what if we all five of us become the band? Mm-hmm. And I was like, because they're going to be wrong. I like playing shit and singing live, but I also like moving around. Right. I like moving around, being like very like just dancing, interacting.
Yeah, it's time to be the front man.
Yeah, so I was like, you guys are fucking skilled. Right. So I was like, let's just do it. And then they became my band. And October 8th was like, this is the first one we did. The first show we did, like, well, it was just four of us though, back then.
Uh-huh.
And then like, October 24th was when like my homie Isai was on the bass.
Uh-huh.
Then after that, like, we just decided, like, we were like, you know what, we should just do like all of us as a band.
Yeah.
And then it just started popping off from there. And yeah, I was in the DIY scene for like, up until February. It was just crazy how it was quick as fuck. Everything happened so quick.
Yeah. Well, so what? Like, the DIY scene has disbanded, or what do you mean? You were
just for me. Like, it's just for me. Like, I played my first house show October 8th, and March 11th was the last house show I did.
Yeah.
And the last house show was in Inglewood.
Yeah, tell me about those house shows, because here's the thing, I haven't been to one in a decade, but I've been to some South Bay house shows where there are just, like, people have a backyard, they got a standalone garage. There's nothing in the garage, so their fucking parents let them have shows in them, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like South Bay scene, like the scene of South Bay was always just like ska, hardcore, and punk.
Yeah, because the one that I went to a decade ago, like I said, it was a punk show, and it was punk kids from like not even in California, but yet they came to this dude's backyard, played in his garage, and it was four bands. Every fucking kid knew every single word.
Yeah. Like, so the house scene that I started in was actually Whittier. Like, Whittier was actually cool. Like, I like Whittier a lot. Like, their house scene.
Whittier, where the girls are prettier.
And fucking, yeah, the homie Cruz from Checkerboard. Yeah. Like, he's still always just putting shows and shit. And, like, he was doing that for his, like, hit me up for the show. And it started popping off there. Like, then, like, it was already a cool bunch of people that knew me. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the house show in Whittier. And then by the end of, like, towards the end of my house shows and shit, like, it just fucking like massive crowd. Like, there was at least like probably over 100 at the last like house show, you know?
So that's what I'm saying. How does that feel as like your first show you ever play was popping, huh?
Yeah.
So like, how does that feel? Like they just found you because of the viral slide video and then the music you had on SoundCloud,
just or the internet, you know?
Yeah, just the internet. And so like, damn, you show up to your first gig and it's popping. Like, that's not an experience a lot of people get to have. What was that? What did that feel like?
It was great because it was like, damn, like, I can really do this. Like, I'm just making people happy. And it's not to say I'm never going to play a house show again.
Yeah.
But it's like, for the experience that it is and everything that's happening right now, it's like, it was just cool and everything to say, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm for sure planning on, like, doing more house shows and shit because I like playing house shows. Like, it's just an experience, you know? Because, like, I love how I sound like live with like venues and shit, you know. I love how I sound at the Echo Place, how I sounded at the fucking Observatory, both stages, Constellation Room and the main stage.
Oh, you've played both rooms already?
Yeah.
Damn, fool.
Yeah, I sold out Constellation Room, and then I played a sold out show with XXYYXX.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, that's weird. That's like a weird fucking Simworld coincidence. I was just listening to him last night cooking dinner. That's fucking crazy. And I was like, I wonder what happened to this fool, because I haven't heard any of his newer shit.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, that shit was popping.
Wow, so damn, you're you I can't believe you sold out the Constellation Room. That's like a 400 cap room, isn't it?
350.
350, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I sold out a rickshaw stop in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, the same day, like, I announced tickets.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I was telling Doris that I felt like I'm glad that you knew what the show was, because otherwise you're right at that point where it's like the trajectory is getting too fast to where we might not have been able to get you on. You know what I mean? Like, the growth has been really stupendous in the last, like, couple months, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, just like the last 2 weeks, I think I gained like 3,000 followers.
I was just gonna say, I started following you 2 weeks ago, and you've gotten 3,500 new followers already. Like, that's fast.
Yeah.
What's been going different? Like, what are some of the, after the Puya thing, what other things have been happening that have been leading to this growth? You got the blue check?
Yeah, I feel like after I got verified, it's just, because like people, I feel like people like followed me and shit. Like, it was already at a fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
But once, I feel like once people like kind of see the blue check and like they know it's like official, like, I feel like people just aren't really skeptical to like follow.
Right.
That's weird because like I'm also like shit posting all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So like so I feel like when people like see that, like it's like that's an artist, but it's like he's always doing weird shit on Twitter. So it's like,
yeah.
But like I feel like once like the verification kinda happened, oh, that's how I feel like in my head, you know, it's like I feel like that's what might have happened.
I feel like the shit posting is very kind of like charming and relatable though. It's like, oh, this is like a serious artist, but also he's just like a little shithead that's funny too.
Yeah, like all the memes I find on the internet, I'll just be like, this is so fucking funny. I need to post this and share this because like it's the funniest fucking thing I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, like the fucking, it's all this shit I find on like the internet and I just be finding it like, this is so funny.
Are there Kugo tattoos out there already?
There's one. It's the song. I have a song called Amor de Siempre.
Yeah.
And some girl had it like tatted like across her like shoulder.
Mm.
Right here. Like, it's so tight. And it has like sort of like that like old school like,
I know what you're talking about, like the graffiti
that,
look.
Yeah, no, like that, or like, yeah, sort of like, it's not cursive, but it's very like intricate, like, like writing. It's so cool.
Script, like script.
That shit is so fucking tight.
That's dope. There's gonna be a lot more to come of those. I have a feeling. So what's in the works?
Right now I'm just working on an album.
Yeah.
Like my first, because I have two projects up, but it was really just like a collection of music that I had already posted on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Kind of like different eras, if it makes sense. Kind of like the Wanna Be With You, which is the first album I have on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
That was like a collection of the songs I had made from like when I started making music to like last summer.
Uh-huh.
Then from like that summer to like February is when I had my next collection of music that I had uploaded to SoundCloud and I put it together as an album.
Uh-huh.
But that's how I actually added like a new track to it. But it's still like, it's cool though because a lot of people listen through like Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah.
So like the people that have never heard of those songs that only use Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah.
Already were like, all right, cool. Like I'll listen to this whole like new collection of stuff.
Right.
But this time I'm just whipping up like a new project. It might take me a cool minute because like since I'm producing everything, mixing, mastering, and then I run into like just like these like writing blocks and shit.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's a whole process, but it's also fun because I have enough content to be able to like pause on the album and tour, you know?
Totally.
Like do shit like that.
Yeah. You already have a booking agent and everything. Like, you're getting it popping. Like it's about to be super official.
I'm stoked as fuck. Like everything that's coming up, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
You just talked about writer's blocks, right? So when you feel yourself having a writer's block, like perhaps like lyrically, vocally, like whatever, do you feel like you're still able to produce do the production, the music of it? Or is it something where like the creativity just stops as a whole?
It can vary. Like sometimes I'll get like a rush of like momentary like production inspiration.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be writing, but sometimes like a lot of times actually it just stops completely, like entire, like I just need to take the whole day off because it's like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in my shit. Like I'm in like my home studio with my keyboard, my guitar, like all these pedals set up like randomly and like all this shit all over the place. And I'm like, you know what? I do not belong here today.
Yeah.
Like, I need to get the fuck out and I need to do something stupid tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll just do that.
Nice. Just get your brain off of it and go back to it the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So I'll take like a whole 2 weeks off.
What do your parents think about what you're doing?
At first they were super skeptical because like I don't know if I'm going back to college this fall.
Yeah.
But like they were expecting me to be in university, you know? Because I got into Cal Poly and San Francisco State, you know? But then
Cal Poly Pomona or San Luis Obispo? Okay.
So,
you know, that was the first place that I moved to in California.
Really?
Cal Poly Pomona. That's where I spent my 19th year.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. I moved from Alaska to Cal Poly Pomona.
Fuck.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
How's the heat change?
Oh my God, it was fucking crazy, dude. Moving from a mild summer in Alaska to Pomona, I was changing my shirt like 4 times a day because I was like sweating through my t-shirts all the time.
Damn.
So it was a bit of definitely a climate shock, if not a culture shock.
Yeah. So anyway. You see me, like, it's hot as fuck outside, but dude, I'm wearing a fucking flannel.
I know. I was like, wow, I'm over here. Like, I was doing something before this and I brought a different shirt to change into because I sweated through my last shirt. I run hot, bro. I run hot. So yeah, the flannel, much respect, but I can't do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I got into the
school. So Cal Poly Pomona, yeah.
Yeah, so my parents just like, yeah, let's go see the schools. We're going to visit Cal Poly. We're going to visit San Francisco. But then we all started seeing the fees and all that. I was like, honestly, like, I want to, I kind of bullshitted it. I was like, I do want to go to school, but what if I just want to community college? And like, I just saved us on the money. And they were like, you know what? Yeah, do it.
Well, because right now it's like you're bringing in money instead of spending it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Even if the music goes away, college can always be there, you know?
Yeah, so it's like I started doing all this, like, and it was cool. Like, college is still a cool experience. Like, if I can, I used to go a couple of days before, like, because, I don't know, like, we're planning, like, hopefully touring by the fall.
Yeah.
By the fall. By the fall.
By the fall.
But, like, I'm still kind of just stoked to, like, maybe, like, go to, like, 1 or 2 times a day. He's in the whole semester before I get kicked out.
Right.
Because it's a fashion class, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, like, school's cool, but it's definitely, like, just, like, once they started seeing that I was doing, like, honestly, once Doris came into the picture and she got me the venue shows.
Shout out, Doris.
Shout out, Doris.
Doris is Cuco's manager, also just so extremely pleasant to work with and a very nice and lovely person, so shout out Doris. Also, I'm supposed to shout out my one of my best friends, David Romo. He's who put me on to you, so shout out Romo from Ham on Everything for telling me about Cuco, because I did genuinely fall in love with the music, so thank you, Romo, for the put on. Okay, so
I've seen the Ham on Everything shout out, like, yeah, the video.
Yeah, he was telling me about that a couple weeks before, and I was like, okay, yeah, it's once I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, it's official. So what would you have studied in college, do you think? Would you have started studying music anyway?
No. I started off with business.
Okay.
But that shit fell off so fucking quick. Dude, I dropped both my math classes. I was like, dude, I can't. The first one was math 32, like a pretty advanced like math and for summer.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm fucking up. I can't do this shit.
Yeah.
So I withdrew from that. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take math 20. It should be easier to get me through my classes for the fall. I dropped that shit like midway. And like, it was just all bad, dude. Like, and then, yeah, so I just got through that. Then winter semester, I took a fashion class.
And that was it.
Yeah, and in spring, I just took a...
How's fashion class?
Fashion is tight. I love fashion. Like,
yeah,
oh,
you're all right.
I'm actually working on like a clothing brand right now, shit, you know?
Yeah.
Cause
I've already seen you. You're just even your like band merch is dope. Like, it's got a certain aesthetic to it, you know?
Yeah. So I was like, honestly, I've always wanted to start a clothing brand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, you know, Chase.
Yeah. Shout out Chase.
Fucking The Hive.
Shout out The Hive.
Fucking, like, they're the most insane people. And Andres from Nature World, you know,
Andre Martel.
Yeah, he's a man, you know, like,
yeah.
He really knows what the fuck is going on, so he's helping me out, like, kind of cultivate my project, because he even said it. He was like, you know, he's like, I already have the ideas done, like, everything's basically, it's just really just getting it out there and marketing it, you know,
yeah,
the right
man.
Way because it's like, I want to make, like, sort of, like, this, like, because, like, my merch is one thing, but I also want to be able to make a little more, like, the high-end, like, fashion, like...
Totally.
Like, streetwear type of thing.
Like, cut-and-sew shit?
Yeah, so the first one isn't really going to be cut-and-sew. It's mostly just going to be logo work and, like, a little, like, nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, yeah, I do want to do, like, all the cut-and-sew shit, like, to the point where I'm making, like, velvet tracksuits and shit, you know?
Oh, bringing back the velour? That'll be hard.
Yeah, so shit like that is crazy ideas I have, like, in store that I'm not even going to put out there yet because until I finally have it done.
Yeah.
I don't want my ideas stolen.
Yeah. Good. That's a good idea. The sharks are out there.
Hell yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm gonna wrap it up by just saying I never tweet about who I'm going to have on the show and be like, oh, tell me what you want me to ask. But I feel like you have such a hardcore fan base already that there's probably questions they want answered that maybe you've never answered out loud before. Do you know what any of those questions are?
Not really. I feel like I'm just open.
You're pretty open already?
I'm pretty open about everything. Like,
yeah.
People know me already.
Yeah.
I feel like.
You are a pretty open book, it seems like. Oh, I actually have one more question. Like, you write a lot about love. Have you been in love yet?
I've been like hella sprung, like super sprung. I've done
infatuated.
Like, yeah, I've done like hella dumb shit, but I just realized, like, I thought I was in love at one point, but like, nah, I was just sprung as fuck and doing dumb shit for a girl that didn't give a shit about me. So I was like tight. I got cheated on a couple times and shit, you know. Mm. So it's like, and then like, and but I also done some like just I just been sus too, you know. Like mm-hmm. I might have let on like a girl or two, and right. like so it's like I've been on both ends. So it's like I'm just like I've been through some shit. I'm writing about it.
How do you feel about, like, LA Weekly labeled you a heartthrob? Like, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that label?
That was tight.
That was good.
I fuck with it. That's tight.
Yeah, that is tight.
The teenage heartthrob.
Hey, man, be careful out there. These women are going to be falling in love with you, man. You need to be a stand-up guy. I know how us cancers are. We are suckers for love.
Yeah. And but we can never face our own issues, you know?
It's true.
We never confront anything.
It's true. Keep it tight out there, man.
Hell yeah.
Well, Kugo, man, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. I'm happy that we caught you at this moment because I feel this moment is going to... Right now, you're just on a springboard to, like, the critical mass, like I said. Like, by next year, this time, everyone's going to know who you are. And I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to watch the growth. So... That being said, where can the people find you online?
Online, you can find my Twitter at I Cry During Sex. My Instagram is Cuckoo Puffs.
Cuckoo Puffs.
Cuckoo Puffs. Yeah. My SoundCloud is like SoundCloud, but I don't have like my like Cuckoo as a thing. It's like
I think if you just Google Cuckoo, yeah, like your Google. SoundCloud comes right up.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it does. I just iTunes and like Spotify. Cuckoo.
Yeah, Cucco. Where can people buy your merch? Because you have cool merch.
I literally have a link on my bio for like my Twitter.
For Twitter, okay.
Because like it's at the Hive and I'm designing new merch, but it'll take a while, you know?
Yep.
So people should go buy the one I have right now.
And then you have a big announcement about a show you're headlining in Pomona, right?
Yeah. August 5th, I'm headlining Viva Pomona. It's a festival.
Yep.
At the Glass House.
I love the Glass House. That's one of my favorite venues.
Yeah, so
that would be stoked.
I'm really stoked for that. Like I've been waiting.
Who else is playing, do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you're the headliner.
Yeah, the headliner for Saturday.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. Appreciate
That's tight.
It.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to Renee.
From Viva.
And
shout out to Viva also.
Shout out Viva and Renee.
And Renee.
And shout out Doris again. Yeah. Out here keeping us on point. if you are in the Southern California area, Los Angeles specifically, the IE, San Diego, anywhere, you can catch Cuckoo on August 5th at the Glass House at Viva Pomona. Are you going to be playing any shows before that? Yay or nay?
Maybe.
But probably not. Maybe, but who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's like...
I got to check in with Doris. So... I don't know if you heard from the back. Stay tuned for surprises.
Stay tuned for surprises. All right. And so we are going to see you perform on Kinda Neat.
Yeah.
What song are you going to be performing?
Lo Que Siento. That's my new song.
Oh, I love that song. That's fantastic. I think this is going to be the first like Spanglish song ever on our show. I don't think we have any Spanish songs on our show. So shout out to all the Latino listeners. This is going to be tight, man. Guys, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me online at Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, at IMDatabase, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, youtube.com/kindaneat, where you are going to see Cuckoo perform, and he's got a trumpet, and it's going to be tight. Kindaneat.net, where everything is wrapped up in a pretty package. Remember to go to patreon.com/kindaneat if you are a weekly listener, and pledge us $1 per episode so that we can keep this show going for eternity. Also, dad hats. We got dad hats for sale. Just go to kindaneat.net, hit that shop button, and cop a hat. Other than that, my name was Lee. That was Cuckoo. And this was Kinda Neat.